I'm really grateful that we're having this discussion because I think this is a topic that is really affecting so many Americans. Rabbi Shapiro, he's based in New York. I invited him here today, but he's not here today. He says, and I would love your opinion, American Jews are increasingly treated as less fully American, our loyalty questioned, our belonging made conditional, because Zionist ideology falsely claims Israel is the nation state of Jews everywhere and that every Jew is nationally tied to it. He says, this framing is anti-Semitic at its core. It strips us of our identity as Americans, recasts us as foreigners in our own country, and arms anti-Semites with accusations of divided loyalties and collective guilt for actions we neither chose nor control. No other foreign country does this. No sovereign state claims to politically represent an entire worldwide group defined by religion or heritage and bind its members to its deeds. Yet Jews alone bear this unique, unjust burden. That dangerous lie must be rejected openly and firmly. The remedy is clear. Civic education that teaches unconditional American belonging through citizenship alone, not ethnicity, heritage, or any fabricated foreign tie. We are Americans, full stop, and we reject any doctrine that treats us otherwise. Would you say that statement is anti-Semitic?
What I'll say is that Natan Sharansky says there's three things that you shouldn't do with Israel. You shouldn't delegitimize it, you shouldn't demonize it, and you shouldn't apply a double standard. You can abide by those three things, you're not anti-Semitic.
So by not being a Zionist, does that make you an anti-Semite?
I don't think you need to be a Zionist to support a country that defends itself and is free and religious in a hostile neighborhood.
So is anti-Zionism
Hold on,
anti-Semitism?
One second, Carrie.
Yes.
It is? It is?
Sorry. Yes.
To take that point for a second.
Let me back up. I didn't want to step over that answer. I didn't know you were still, both of you, still talking. So
just to be clear, is anti-Zionism anti-Semitism?
Yes.
It is? Under IHRA?
Rabbi, sure. You're up next.
You're not sure? So what is the definition?
I would love to speak to that. Undoubtedly, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And one does not have to support the specific policies of the government of Israel, but to not support the right of Israel to exist, which is what anti-Zionists do, while not taking that same stand to the 28 Muslim countries and 13 Christian countries in this world, is a double standard, is hypocrisy, and is absolutely anti-Semitism.
I think it's also important that we not make Islamophobic remarks while we're here today. I would appreciate that.
I just want to say, God forbid, was anything like that said. But if you deny, if the Jewish people are the only people that you deny the right to have its own state, that is absolutely a double standard, hypocrisy, and anti-Semitism.
Well, as you know, I'm a Catholic, and Catholics do not embrace Zionism. Just so you know. So, are all Catholics anti-Semites, according to you?
As I said, anti-Zionism, by denying the right of the Jews to have their own state while not saying the same for any other peoples, that is a double standard, hypocrisy, and anti-Semitism.
So just to be clear, are Catholics anti-Semites?
Carrie, excuse me. I'm going to interrupt the discussion. Our committee is focused on religious liberty taken from all people, whether it be Muslims, Jews, Christians, Sikhs. We've had all those witnesses here. This is not a commission on defining religions or calling out any theology, or this is not the commission for that.
Right, but we're talking about a foreign nation, so I want to be clear on what the definition of anti-Semitism is. If I don't support the political state of Israel, am I an anti-Semite? Yes or no?
They already answered. Asked and answered.
According to you on the record, yes? I don't support the political state of Israel?
I don't personally label people. But what I'm saying is, if somebody says they're an anti-Zionist, they are saying about themselves that they have a double standard and hypocrisy, and they're taking anti-Semitic positions.
Okay. Carrie, do you feel like you have your questions in?
I don't agree with that, because as a Catholic, I don't agree that the new modern state of Israel has any biblical prophecy meaning at all.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
Have you ever been experienced? Well, we have. Let us show you now on The War Room with Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We, Kyrie Prigent Boller is battling it out with the Zionists right now because she dared to express her religious opinion on the religious liberty panel. I mean, how dare she? It's crazy. And they came with her with knives out. Time to destroy her life for daring to point out the obvious. That conflating Zionism with anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism is just an obvious sleight of hand trick to silence criticism of a foreign nation state, which is currently actively involved in the most horrific acts you could possibly imagine. And she did a great job and continues to battle with these. Prigent Boller says, can you even imagine? Basically, they're saying she should be removed. She should be removed from the Religious Liberty Committee because she is not sufficiently Zionist and actually believes in the Catholic teaching about the blessing of Israel having now applies to people of Christian faith, not to Israel. So they're going to try to fire her. So she says, can you even imagine this? A Religious Liberty Commission prepared to fire a commissioner for her Catholic faith. If that happens, it proves their mission was never religious liberty, but a Zionist agenda. I refuse to resign. Laura Loomer responds, you're not going to be given the opportunity to resign. You're going to be fired, and rightfully so. Just like just lovely, lovely people. Carrie Prigent Boller says, if they try to remove me, it will prove they don't really care about religious freedom. Laura Loomer, here comes the victimhood. You don't care about religious freedom or speak for anyone on this matter. You're a pageant participant. What qualifications do you have to be sitting on a White House committee on religion? You've been a Catholic for 21 weeks. Give me a break. You'll be fired and then you'll be shamed as you deserve to be. Then you can go to church and cry in a box about your sins and try to be a better person. It's just like, Jesus. Yeah, you really hate Catholic people, huh, lady? I mean, Laura, I mean, I haven't seen any anti-Semitism from old Carrie, but Laura Loomer genuinely hates Catholic people. I think it's pretty obvious. It's like, can you imagine? I mean, it would be one thing if Kyrie Prigent Boller was like, why don't you go kiss your stupid wall? Why don't you go wear your stupid hat? You're gonna die just like you deserve. Just like, nope, just the Zionists saying that type of stuff constantly, always. It's always them. Jewish activists are lobbying the Trump administration to remove Kyrie Prigent Boller from the White House Religious Liberty Commission because she actually took the hearing seriously and spoke out in defense of Christians' religious liberties and of all Americans' First Amendment rights. Scoop from Laura Loomer. Senior Trump admin officials tell me there are internal discussions taking place at the White House to remove White House Religious Liberty Commission member Carrie Prigent Boller after her outburst today on religious freedom panel. She used her time to harass Jewish panelists and blame them for military access to Israel. And then she tried to claim she was a victim. Can you believe it? She was harassing the panelists by talking to them on a panel she'd been invited to talk to. How dare she? How dare she? Moderators had to intervene to get her to stop because she was so disruptive at the event. Yeah, because she was asking uncomfortable questions that reveal that you dumbass scam artists don't believe anything that you say. You absolute intolerable liars. You absolute demons. you utter demons. Honestly, they're just going full mask off, and it's utterly unbearable. Trump Religious Liberty Panel's first anti-Semitism hearing turns contentious over Israel. It's like, yeah, because they don't want religious tolerance, because they want abject submission, because they dress that up in claims of religious freedom, because they're liars trying to take advantage of our freedoms to destroy them. These people, man, honestly. Trump's Religious Liberty Commission sued over lack of diversity. Interfaith Alliance and Hindus for Human Rights were among those accusing the commission of violating the Federal Advisory Committee Act, which requires such groups have a balance of viewpoints. The commission includes Protestant, Catholic, and Jewish people, but no Muslims or any other member of minority religious groups. There's Muslim representation on its there is Muslim representation on its advisory board of lay leaders. And gee, I wonder why. I wonder why they didn't allow Muslims to be involved. Now, I'm not particularly excited to have Muslims in there in the first place, because I don't like Muslims trying to take us over, but they're certainly excluded strictly so that the Jews could have, you know, uncontested ability to spread lies about the state of Israel that a Muslim person almost certainly would be able to contradict and, you know, beat back. I guess they thought the Catholic would go along with it. She didn't. And so now they're trying to destroy her, and they'll try to destroy her life. It's not just about getting her off the religious liberties panel. See, she's questioned them. Therefore, she is now a terrorist who wants them all to die, and she has to be killed first before she can kill them. That's the way these people's mindset works. And I'm not even kidding. I mean, we've shown the, you know, go watch the Eighth Front. I mean, they're bragging about it. People who are anti-Semitic, aka criticize Israel, having their lives destroyed, celebrating it, gleeful about it, bragging about how efficient they are in destroying people's lives, ruining their business prospects, ruining their dating lives. I mean, they're like really dedicated to this. I mean, we have a video from the Super Bowl of Robert Kraft, who, you know, put out that anti-Semitism ad, was bragging about, you know, the brain trust he has, the giant, you know, technological surveillance, private surveillance grid that he's running, and basically just brag about, like, surveilling colleges and reporting students that aren't sufficiently pro-Zionist to the college authorities to have them expelled. It really is sick. I mean, these people are just vicious tyrants, and they have to be stopped at all costs. Religious Liberty Commission tussles over anti-Semitism as lawsuit challenges its legality. Now, I want to talk about, like, what is the actual way that they're trying to impose total and absolute control on the West. And I got a couple, you know, ways to break this down. And I think a good way to do it is because they all say exactly the same things in exactly the same ways, because they're following orders. And I think this is an important thing to understand about how they operate. It is a hive mind to a certain degree. There are obviously communications going on behind the scenes. Again, you can watch the Eighth Front, where they talk about every week they get together, they train people how to make the arguments that they want them to make, and then they put them on shows, you know, to have them make the argument. But the way that they coordinate is through slogans. It's sloganeering. They have these slogans that they say that they all repeat ad nauseum, and the usefulness is to align the thought of their followers to that particular slogan. It's the same way they do with climate change or anything else. The slogans themselves are, in many cases, meaningless. In other cases, actually the opposite of what's true. But it doesn't matter, because they say them over and over, and each slogan of theirs is sort of a building block of an argument, of a whole entire holistic argument that they're making, that if you accept the building blocks, the argument makes sense. If you point out or ascertain that the building blocks themselves are utterly ridiculous, and then the whole facade falls. So I'm going to try to explain these building blocks, how they're used. And once I say them to you, you'll recognize them and be able to see them everywhere. And I've got examples to show you. So I think first, if we go to clip 49, this was actually from the White House Religious Liberty Committee hearing. And this is sort of the first of the lies that is used to build up the censorship program. And it's basically the claim, it goes hand in hand with the claims of you know, religious Zionist, that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. It's sort of a historical version of that. So let's go to clip 49 here. This is one of the Zionists on the religious liberty panel, basically threatening America that if we don't do what they say, then we're going to be hit with plagues. So let's watch.
Societies that fail to protect their Jews, or worse, turn against them, often hasten their own decline. Ancient Egypt enslaved the Jews, oppressed them harshly, and defied their cries for freedom, only to be broken by devastating plagues that struck at the heart of its power. Babylon razed Jerusalem, exiled its people, and soon vanished from history's stage. Mighty Rome crushed the Jewish quest for self-rule, destroyed the temple, only to fade into the history books. These are not coincidences. They form solemn, recurring patterns. Societies that oppress the Jewish people sow the seeds of their own erosion. America's extraordinary success flows from its historic embrace of Judeo-Christian values. I offer my assistance to this commission and the White House, recommendations, implementation, whatever is needed. This is the hill I am willing to die on. I'm Yisrael Chai. Thank you.
Okay. So now that's just utterly ahistorical. And it's something that they just all say, and it's just not true. I mean, the examples he gave aren't true. Rome took over Jerusalem and destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Rome continued to expand and grow until the 400s and continued to exist for 1,000 years past them through the Byzantine Empire. So it's that in and of itself, absolutely ridiculous. And of course, the functions of the Roman government were transferred to the Catholic Church, which still sits in Rome and is still the heart of basically a giant religious empire that still speaks Latin and is in the same place that they were during the time of Jesus or shortly after. So again, it's just that doesn't make any sense. Egypt is the same way. Egyptian civilization existed for 4,000 years, for thousands of years after the Exodus, if that even is historically accurate. I mean, you can go over all of them. We've talked about how Spain, their golden age began literally the year that they kicked all of the Jews out of Spain. And then, of course, the flip side of that is things like the fact that Spain was taken over by Muslims in the first place because Jewish people in Toledo opened the gates on Christmas and let the army in. So I'd say historically, if you were to actually look back in the historical record, you'd see really kind of the opposite from what these people keep saying. But they all say it, but they all repeat it over and over. It's one of the slogans that they've decided to issue. And it's not actually just a slogan. It's a threat. It's a threat, right? What they're saying is you treat Jews nicely, over and above nicely. You can't just treat us equally, all right? You can't just be opposed to anti-Semitism. You have to actively go out and fight our enemies for us, or else we're going to destroy your country. And it's kind of like, you know, you can look at like Nazi Germany. Did Nazi Germany collapse because they didn't like Jews? You could kind of make the argument, like maybe, you know, through the actions of their Jewish enemies, then they were destroyed. But this wasn't God, right? It wasn't like God hit Germany with plagues. Germany basically became a economic powerhouse. Hitler was Times Man of the Year. And they had a lot of like economic and military success, but they were destroyed by, you know, armies that were sent in large part due to Jewish lobbying. So I'm not even saying it's just like the way it's presented is if like there's some sort of metaphysical reality at play here. There's not. It's just like if you go against the Jews and the Jews will see you as an enemy and will destroy you. Like that's what they mean when they say that. And again, you can get into the history and like I've talked about a million times, it's just the opposite of what they say. Alexander II was a czar of Russia. And you can look at the history. I actually did it with Grok and I was like, you know, tell me who the czars were and tell me their position on the Jews and anti-Semitism. And it's like, yeah, you know, some of the czars like didn't like the Jews and crushed them and had pogroms during them. And then Alexander II actually was very liberal and opened up things to the Jews. And then a Jewish cabal killed him and assassinated him. And so then the next czar was like, all right, we're going to crush these people. Like the last guy tried to open up Russian civilization to them and a conspiracy of Jewish socialists killed him. So we're not going to do that anymore. But again, it's just like ahistorical. In a word, this is utterly ahistorical, And again, I go over example, over example, over example, but it doesn't matter because this is now being seeded into the public consciousness so that any retribution taken against America for not being sufficiently pro-Zionist will be interpreted as God's will or something. It's completely absurd, but happens over and over. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. We can go to, let's do this. Let's go to clip 50. Actually, let's go to clip 45 here. Let's go to clip 45. This is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, again, saying what I just said. It's not enough that you just, you know, not tolerate anti-Semitism. You're actually supposed to actively go out and fight on their behalf or else you're, hate God or something. Let's go to clip 45 here. Benjamin Netanyahu. He says, I demand that Western governments do what is necessary to fight anti-Semitism and provide the required safety and security for Jewish communities worldwide. They would be well advised to heed our warnings. I demand action from them now. And it's like, who the hell are you? And what gives you the right? But it's a demand. But it's a demand, and our politicians are conceding to that demand. Let's go to clip 56 here. Should we go to this now? Yeah, I think in the build up to this, actually, I want to go to the last 5 minutes or so of the Eighth Front War documentary I made, and we'll close out this segment with that, just to give you the ground, lay the groundwork for you here. Because again, I think the end of this, clip 64, sort of lays out again what you just heard about Benjamin Netanyahu demanding that Western countries basically create a parallel legal system exclusively for Jews. And we're actually seeing this come into play in a place like Australia, where the Israeli president just visited, and they basically just like brutalized everybody that was protesting him. And just created this, you know, cordon around him where, you know, no normal Australians were allowed to go because, you know, he has to be treated like some sort of a holy figure or something, into where none of your, you know, long-held religious or national liberties are to be maintained, not in the face of, you know, an Israeli person wanting to do things. And now, you know, that always will supersede and overwhelm whatever concerns you have. Let's go to the end of this, clip 64. This is the last 5 minutes of the Eighth Front documentary that I made. And again, it sort of exposes to you the underlying threat at the heart of this claim that, like, if you don't support the Jews, your country is not long for this world. Let's watch.
The only solution right now is for the governments to decide that all the Jews are a protected minority. That means that the government will be obliged to provide the security.
Upgrades to security. Jewish community shouldn't have to be paying for it. But we have to pay for our own armed guards? Are you serious?
To fund institutions, culture, and that everybody in Europe will learn about the Jewish contribution and why they should cherish Jewish presence.
All your synagogues, all your shuls, all paid for. Everything. Everything that you need is paid for. I, for one, as a Jewish leader, will no longer talk about anti-Semitism in isolation from Israel. It's what we want immediately, if you ask any Jew, what do you want? No more protests. No more protests.
I'm not an anti-Semite. I just don't like the government of Bibi Netanyahu. No, you're a Jew hater.
Would a group be banned if it accuses Israel of genocide or apartheid?
If those criteria are satisfied, then that is the case.
Any candidate running for a seat in this building, whether for Congress or Senate, we will target them as they target us. Accordingly, we will start a fund to help their opponents.
Beginning already in Q1, hedge funds get set up in Israel so we can become another capital of finance. I'll argue we will beat London within a short decade as a second capital of finance. It's gonna be New York as a gateway to America, Hong Kong a gateway to China, Dubai a gateway to Southeast Asia, and Israel as a gateway to other parts of the world.
So we heard earlier about a mission, a goal, to bring 1 million immigrants to Israel.
History has proven that when a country starts with allowing anti-Semitism, the results are not kind to that country.
I want to make a warning to somebody else, and that's American Gentiles. The minute your country is taken over by anti-Semitism, the minute you start to be a country that's not blessing Israel but cursing Israel, you have begun the process of shrinking away from your empire.
And you can decide. You can stay here in New York in a declining empire, or you can come to Israel, which is part of the rising middle of the world, which is moving south and east. That's what I encourage you to do.
Our faith in the American project itself has been shaken. The only serious answer to this challenge is to believe again that being Jewish is the most important thing in the world.
When we're kicked out of America and America, you know, the whole thing is done, the whole American Jewish project is done, we're gonna be fine.
For decades, American society allowed Jews to live normal lives. This was a pleasant holiday from our destiny. The holiday is over.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people are not normal. We never really were.
And now that Israel has turned the entire geopolitical situation on its head, our job in the diaspora is to leverage those wins and win here. Do to our enemies here what Israel did to its enemies there.
And to the world, I say this. History will not remember those who merely denounced hatred in polite language. History will remember those who acted.
This is a small bunch of wannabe Nazis. That's what they are.
Anti-Semitism is pure evil.
If we have to hunt you down the way they hunted down Nazis for decades, we will find your identities. We will find you. We will achieve justice.
I think we're at the cusp of a new age. Because I think that we will achieve the expansion of peace. I think that we are in a new age because I think that the possibilities of technology, with their risks, especially in AI, but with their positive benefits, are enormous in every field. I mean, from agriculture to health to transportation to... And I think that we are together. We can lead this and become not a secondary power, but a primary power.
We can be not a secondary power, but a primary power with the expansion of peace. What does he mean by expansion of peace? He means Iran being destroyed. He means the enemies of Israel in the Middle East being eradicated so that the greater Israel project can be achieved, and they can then basically be as powerful as America with the landmass and resources to basically go toe-to-toe with us. So this is the strange thing. They are desperately trying right now to get America to destroy Iran because they're desperate to destroy America, but they need us to destroy Iran. So like, as soon as we destroy Iran, there's no reason for us to be useful anymore. And so you're hearing those people who are all very important people in charge of organizations like the Tikva Fund, or you know, billionaires and you know, market controllers. And they're sitting there going, America is the dying empire. Come to Israel, where it's the rising empire. Well, the empire, our empire is not dying, you know, from natural causes. It's being murdered by the people telling their fellow Jews, it's time to end this American experiment. You're Jewish, not American. Come with us to Israel. It's sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files, or is Trump covering up, or isn't he, or you know, what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, like, what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out. And we, the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, We the people of the West of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice in the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars. But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bigley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top private label. So incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene Blue Tincture, we've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even Methylene Blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene Red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, reload, defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose CMOS capsules, incredible, very strong concentrated Irish CMOS, natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm going to try to fit a lot of videos in this last segment. I think it's probably the most important thing to understand right now in terms of politics, the info war. Like, this is it. This is the most important thing to understand. And I'm trying to figure out how to even lay this out because it gets a little bit confusing on purpose. So like, by the nature of the arguments being made, it's confusing to unpack and untangle them. I think I can do it because, as I said, they use sloganeering. They use slogans as a way to unify arguments, basically. And when somebody is sophisticated in this sort of info war spectrum, they can hide the fact that they're using slogans. But then you have people that aren't as sophisticated, and they sort of just come out and say it. Now, Dan Bongino is one of these characters. So I played this video on Friday, but I want to go through it again because he basically lays out the four or five pillars of the operation going on here. And again, I think I can explain this well and holistically. But we're going to go to Dan Bongino, clip 56 here, and I'm going to show you how he just follows the talking points point by point, and it's ones that we've already seen, you know, used today in some of the videos that we've shown. So 56, here's former FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino from last Friday as he lays out his opposition to so-called anti-Semitism, and in doing so gives us the blueprint for how they plan to hijack and destroy the Republican Party and manipulate the vast majority of Western people into a state of willing slavery. Okay, so let's go to clip 56 here. This is Dan Bongino.
Finally, there's a third class of people. The third class of people after October 7th went crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. I stand fully, completely, and strongly. I don't know how many times I get it.
Pause right there. That's the first pillar. The first pillar is the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. That's sort of the king pillar. It's the keystone. And that's the first pillar. And what he's saying there is people criticizing Israel are anti-Semites. And I don't want anything to do with that anti-Semitic BS. It's like, it's not anti-Semitic. It's us observing Israel carrying out a genocide in full view of everybody, doing the most horrific things you can possibly imagine, including cutting off water, just shooting children for fun. I can go into some stories, but it's not anti-Semitic to oppose this stuff, but he's framing it as anti-Semitic. So that's the first pillar right off the bat, is that all of this criticism, it's all anti-Semitic, it's because you hate Jews. It couldn't possibly be legitimate concern and criticism. No, it's got to be some sort of mental illness you have that has to just be crushed, not ever addressed. Okay, so that's the first pillar, anti-Semitism being the cause of all criticism. Let's go back to Dan.
I don't know how many times I got to tell you this. It's amazing how many people think it's like the current thing to say like they hate the Jews or something. Really? You believe that? You realize where that's led throughout human history?
Let's pause
absent
right there.
The immorality.
That's the second pillar, as I just went on 30 minutes talking about. One, IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, any criticism of Israel or Jews is automatically anti-Semitism. And the second pillar being, this is, you don't know what it's led to throughout history. Throughout history, people who are anti-Semitic just immediately die, and they become poor, and God punishes them for opposing his chosen people. Now, he just sort of says this as an offhanded comment, but again, it's because he's not very sophisticated. He doesn't actually make the argument. He just says where that's led throughout history, because he expects we all know this talking point has been implanted. The talking point is false, but that's how effective they are at their messaging. They just say it over and over and over again, so somebody like Dan Bongino can just reference it offhanded as if it's true and implant it in your mind that way. Okay, so anti-Semitism is, or all criticism of Jews in Israel is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism destroys countries throughout history. Totally false. Back to Dan Bongino.
Now, you may say, oh, gosh, Dan, I can't believe that that's actually happening. Really? I promise you, go look at the Twitter. The botting that does happen, and again, it's not all botting. The botting that does happen is very well organized. It is totally synthetic.
That's the third.
It is all.
There's the third pillar. And this sort of underlies all the other ones. But it's a key component. Again, you'll see they all use exactly these same arguments. Oh, all criticism of Israel is just because they're viciously anti-Semitic. They just hate Jews and are using this as an excuse. And hey, you know what happens throughout history when that happens? I mean, countries get destroyed. Bless Israel or God will kill you. I mean, that's in the Bible, I'm pretty sure. And then the third is none of this is authentic. None of it's real. People are paid. It's bots. It's Qataris. It's, oh, the algorithm has tricked you into thinking this. And again, this is like calling us crazy. No, we have very particular and specific criticisms that are backed up by evidence, both admitted and video evidence and statistical evidence. None of this is invalid. And even saying that is such an insult. That's like, again, we can't think for ourselves. We're all just victims of an algorithm. We all just are bots that you can just ignore. It's just an easy way to attempt to discredit all of the valid criticisms by basically taking your agency away and saying, you don't actually believe that. You're just being tricked. You're just a bot. You're just, inauthentic, insincere. No, we're very authentic. We're very sincere. Hi, I'm Harrison Smith. I'm a human being, and I hate Israel, and I hate what they're doing, and I hate you for covering them up. Not a bot, bro. Not my algorithm. Literally felt this way since middle school. Not something new for me. Not something I just picked up in the last little while. Not because I think it's cool to do this, but because the Israeli government is just flagrantly evil in like a million different ways and has been since their inception. And they're now trying to get America to do their dirty work for them, which has worked in the last couple decades and has left America in a as a basically shattered, you know, shell of its former self. So let's listen to the fourth pillar here. But again, Dan Bongino is laying out all of the arguments you'll ever hear from any of these people. Okay? It's inauthentic. It's botting. It's Qataris. They're paid to say this. It's all projection, folks. Israel has announced that they have a bounty program where they'll give you $7,000 for supporting them. They brag about spending $100 million to try to psyop all of America. They invite our pastors over there and bribe them to teach submission to Israel as part of their religious sermons. They are the ones paying for people. They are the ones running bots. They're the ones who are, you know, obsessed with trying to get control of the algorithms by forcing the social media companies to be sold to their co-ethnics. I mean, it's pure projection on one hand, but more importantly, it's there to totally undermine and undercut any valid complaints that you have by claiming that, you know, you're just a bot. So let's go. So that's the third pillar. Let's go to the fourth now.
It's all anti-Jewish nonsense. Read the comments. It's from like, I hate the Jews 101 and stuff. Just look at it. You can see it. It's so clearly fake.
Fake.
But it's an organized movement of people, and it's not a very large group of people, who've learned to amplify social media to attack anyone in the administration or outside who doesn't go and attack the Jews. 100%. Look at, just read the comments. Don't take my word for it. Just go and look. Go look. You'll see it. It's everywhere. They all have the same goal. It is to dismantle this movement, take it apart from the inside, cause disruption, pick up the pieces, and rebuild it into something far different than a movement that actually conserves liberty. They all have the same goal. Libs, the anti-Jew crowd, and the Doomers.
There
the
it is.
Exact same goal.
That's the fourth pillar, and it's probably the most important one. And again, this is where it's going to get a little bit confusing, but let's review. Here's the four pillars that they're running with to try to shut down criticism of Israel in America. It's all anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. All criticism of Jews is born from some uncontrollable hatred of Jewish people, and it's not valid criticism whatsoever. It's just anti-Semitism, right? That's the first thing. The second thing, throughout history, countries that do this fail. They collapse. They're hit with plagues, right? Totally ahistorical, doesn't match up history whatsoever, but just a lie they repeat enough that everybody thinks it's true. Three, to claim that all of this is bots and algorithm and being paid for by the Qataris. It's all inauthentic. We don't have to pay attention to it because it's all botted activity or mind control somehow. And then four is the false dichotomy. That is the most important thing being pushed right now, and it ties into a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to try to lay it out for you here. And he just said the liberals, the anti-Semites, and the doomers, but essentially what they're trying to do is create a dichotomy that says you're either with the Jews or you're with Muslims and libtards, leftists, socialists, communists, and, you know, anti-Semite Nazis who hate America. And that's the dichotomy they're trying to push forward. Now, this dichotomy is impossible to justify or to rectify or to, you know, align with all of their other statements. And I'll try to lay this out in only in a way that comes across. Let's go to clip 40 here because we played this on Friday as well. And it's a woman named Melanie Phillips. Clip 40. This is her comments about what has allowed the Jeffrey Epstein scandal to take place. And she blames us. Let's watch.
Just think for a minute what the West now takes pride in. Sexual morality? Destroyed. Lifestyle free for all? You bet. Non-judgmentalism? Mandatory. The nuclear family? Smashed. Good riddance, eh? Girls have been taught to be shameless. Result? Young men have been licensed to be sexual predators. Me and my desires are now the center of the universe. So we've waved goodbye to accountability in politics as in life. Nihilism is flaunted as idealism, and hypocrisy has been rebranded as conscience. So why on earth is anyone remotely surprised by the global cesspit that has now been revealed as Jeffrey Epstein's world?
Okay, so there she says that the reason Jeffrey Epstein was able to flourish in, quote unquote, the West is because, you know, we, in a word, we failed to uphold our traditional beliefs, our traditions, our traditional, you know, construct of family. And basically, we're too tolerant. Basically, the problem is our tolerance, and we've been too tolerant for too long, and we allow sexual immorality and, you know, all this sort of stuff to destroy the fabric of our society, and it's led to things like this. Now, she goes even farther than this, and she was actually featured in The Eighth Front. We can go to that video, hear that clip from it, because, again, it just, it, you know, maybe she thinks this comes across as, like, beneficent or, like, advice for us, but for those of us who are Western, who are Christian white Europeans in America, this just straight up sounds like a threat, just like a blackmail threat. Okay, so let's go to clip 36 here. Melanie Phillips giving a speech basically saying, love and uplift the Jews or be destroyed. Let's watch.
The Western culture that stands against the Jews is going down. The West will survive only if it decides to love itself and if it decides to love us, the Jewish people, instead of disdaining us and trying to erase what makes the Jewish people special and what's made the West special too.
Okay, so what's made the West special is what makes the Jews special, except the West is arrayed against the Jews right now, and they're not going to survive if that's the case. The West has to embrace Jews and Judaism, or else it's going to collapse. And she goes farther than this in that same speech, clip 34, where she claims that all of the things we've lost in the West are all Jewish values that we have to reclaim. Let's watch.
We can only understand this if we understand that what the West has done to itself over the past half century is to collapse its own conscience, justice, and rationality. But conscience, justice, and rationality are, in fact, Jewish values. The unprecedented onslaught against the Jews has occurred because the Jews are central to Western civilization.
Jews are central to Western civilization, and the very concepts of justice and these things are Jewish concepts. Okay, so I have some bad news. I have some bad news for Melanie Phillips, and it's that what she's saying right there flies in the face of 80 years of Jewish participation in our systems. Now, I'm not the one saying this. They are. Okay? So, in a way, like, fundamentally, I completely agree with Melanie Phillips' sentiment that it is our tolerance and our lack of, like, hard-nosed, traditional, like, adhering to our foundational beliefs. Like, she's right. We've lost that. Only it's not because we've gone away from embracing the Jews. It's actually the exact opposite. Again, don't take my word for it. Let's go to some of these videos. We'll go to clip 39 first. So as we hear that the reason the Jeffrey Epstein scandal happened is because the West is degraded and too tolerant and degenerate, let's watch this commercial advertising how we got there.
I am Jewish and proud because Jews have always done what's right. We've led the fight for gay rights. Harvey Milk fought to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. Eddie Windsor was a leader in the fight for marriage equality. Miriam Ben-Shalom challenged the ban on gay people serving in the military. We've helped lead the fight for racial justice. Our rabbis are BFFs with MLK. Together with black leaders, Jews helped to establish over 20 HBCUs. During the civil rights movement, Jews were disproportionately involved in the protests. We've led the fight for women's rights, for equal pay and the right to choose, and against discrimination in the workplace. Jews were also among the first on the ground in Turkey, Ukraine, and Haiti. In Judaism, when it comes to helping others, no action is too big or too small. The Jewish principle of Tikkun Olam tells us that we have the power to change the world, and there are so many ways to do that. And this is why I am Jewish and proud.
Okay, so that's from the World Jewish Congress. Of course, their leader, Ron Lauder, his son-in-law has now just been appointed to the Fed, and he is the one demanding that basically Jewish people be given total control over all education, K through 12, including and colleges as well, and basically says that anybody elected to any position in the government of America has to first and foremost be subservient to them. Otherwise, they're going to really, you know, bring out the big bucks to try to shut down their candidacies. Of course, it's not just them. Here's Brett Stevens. This is a New York Times writer. He's sitting next to Rabbi Shmuley when he again lays out the absurdity of what Melanie Phillips was saying. Melanie Phillips is there like, you know, justice and tradition, these are Jewish values. And it's, you know, the West is moving away from these core Jewish values. And so we have to move back towards those core Jewish values if we want to, you know, continue to exist. Here's Brett Stevens just saying the exact opposite. 18.
Jews, I think, have only really thrived and are only really safe when liberal values are the dominant prevalent values, those panoply of values which are the DNA of what we call liberal democratic society. Trump administration represents a substantial and dangerous regression from those values. The attitude of this administration towards immigration, Mexican immigration, Latin American immigration, is a scandal.
So how do you square this circle, right? How do you justify this? Melanie Phillips is saying it's the West giving up their traditional values, giving up their core fundamental beliefs. Well, simultaneously, you have Jewish organizations like the World Jewish Congress bragging about their active and leading roles in the movements that have systematically destroyed these traditional values, as well as people like Brett Stevens saying Jews are only really safe in places where liberal values reign supreme, which would be the opposite of what Melanie Phillips was just saying. And yeah, he just gave a speech at the 92 NY talk, and I could show you clips from that all day, but I'm trying to lay something out here in particular. And let's go ahead and go to clip 35 here. This is a really famous one, but we might as well play it since it contributes to the argument here. Clip 35.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
Okay, so that again is a very famous clip that's been spread for years, and I'm gonna finish off this clip from Bataya Ungar Sargon talking about this, let me try to wrap all this up. So we've got the four pillars that we talked about: the anti-Semitism means everything that criticizes Jews, that if you do that, your country will be destroyed. Now Melanie Phillips adds to that, basically it's because you're losing the core values. Now she claims those are Jewish values; they are in fact Christian values, and this is the real, you know, absurd part of this is that you have all sorts of people, I mean, Caleb Hammer and like all sorts of people over and over, Rabbi Shmuley, Benjamin Netanyahu himself has said it, saying that European DNA is anti-Semitic, that there's something in the European character. And you hear them say, you know, Spain, Germany, France, Rome, like these are the people that tried to destroy the Jews and have been destroyed themselves. Of course, that's not true. Rome still exists. Persia still exists, just called Iran. Egypt still exists and is thriving. And by the way, they're actually the descendants of the people there, unlike the Eastern Europeans who just moved to the Middle East and changed their name. But that's beside the point. What they're saying is that there's something in the European DNA that's intrinsically anti-Semitic. And yet they're also saying that the West, which is just another word for Christendom, just another word for Europe and white people, you know, speaking European languages and worshiping Christ and Christianity, that both somehow is intrinsically anti-Semitic and has a history of anti-Semitism that's tied into their very DNA, while also saying that the civilizations that came out of this anti-Semitic DNA is somehow dependent on Judaism and Judeo-Christian. This is totally incompatible and nonsensical. Here's Bataya Ungar Sargon, clip 51, talking about how this plays into American politics And we'll wrap it all up here at the on the other side of this video. But suffice it to say, the Israeli community in America, the diaspora in America, has abandoned the left, is now taken over the Republicans, and are trying to define opposition to their takeover as un-American, anti-Western, and you therefore, you know, belong in the category of the Islamists and the leftist progressives, the climate change fanatics, and the anti-white people. That is a false dichotomy, and that's what I'm trying to highlight here, is the false dichotomy that's being used right now to try to force anybody that's not a diehard Zionist out of the Republican Party and claim that they're with the left in an effort to basically silo them and expel them from any legitimate conservative pro-American America First movement that they've hijacked, even though MAGA was always against the wars in the Middle East and specifically against American submission to Israel. So here's Ungar Sargon explaining this move away from the Democrats and how it's kind of pissing some of them off. Let's watch.
According to John Fetterman himself, his Zionism puts him out of step with the rest of his party, which, I'm sorry, only 13% stand with Israelis against the Palestinians. This is a party whose grassroots is right now captured by the left. And so Zionism does not have a future in the American left. The Democratic Party's relationship with Zionism depends on whether it's willing to repudiate that far left. And the thing that makes this so appalling is that Jews built the left in this country. We built the labor movement. We broke the New Deal. 70% of the lawyers who worked on civil rights cases were Jews. We've been at the forefront of every liberal and leftist issue in this country.
So again, there she is saying, you know, the Democrat Party basically is the party that supports the Jewish values, but they don't like Zionism, so they have to be, you know, abandoned. And this is the really important thing I think everybody needs to understand. They're trying to force anybody that is not a Zionist but is right-wing into the category of a leftist, an anti-white person, anti-civilization. You're with the Islamist. That is a false dichotomy. And yet, I see people on our side pushing this. If you're somebody that thinks you either support Candace Owens or you're Israeli, that is the exact dichotomy they're trying to push. You are playing directly into their hands. If you're somebody that says, oh, you have to, you know, abandon Trump or else you're with the Zionists, that's the dichotomy they're trying to push on you. It's a false dichotomy. You can be against Zionism and still be a right winger. It's actually the way you should be, according to the people who are bragging about creating the left wing as Jews. I mean, stop pushing the false dichotomy already.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that. It's
counter. Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Oh, come on. Free your it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheOutShowStore.com.
Unlimited fabulous
power! Volunteer power!
Power.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.